The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Welcome to Talk Saratoga, Wendy.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, we're doing it on the computer, and I can't wait to get back in the studio.
Yes, I know. Same here.
It's crazy. Hey, I wanted to talk about a few things that are going on in Saratoga.
Yes.
And they're really, you know, from last year during the pandemic, there really hasn't been, I think people have been out of the loop on a lot of things in the city. Do you feel that way?
Yes, I definitely do. Because people, first of all, can't get to the city council meetings. So there's a disconnect because people can comment, but they can't really interact with the our elected officials, and City Hall has been closed.
Right. Yeah, there seems to be like a non-performing government in Saratoga. I mean, you know, we hear things on the internet. They puff themselves up, I feel, a little more than what they should, because nobody can really check the facts.
Yes, it's difficult.
Now, how is it for reporters? I mean, do you have any more, to get closer to any more of the politicians than the average person can?
Well, actually, people can probably get closer to Meg Kelly if she's friends with them, the mayor. She doesn't respond to the press at all. And, but if she likes you, she will talk to you, which isn't the best way to handle running a city. You know, everybody's voice should be heard. And of course, now that she's not going to run again, and Michelle Madigan's not going to run again, and it looks like Robin Dalton's not going to have a platform to run again, we're going to see a very different government this time next year.
Yeah. Now, I know I was talking with one of the Republican people that are running for office. John Safford had told me that he is 99% sure he's running again for supervisor. And okay. He had mentioned that the Republicans have a full slate, but I don't know when they're coming out with it, because you think they'd come out early so they could get a jump on the Democrats, because I feel the Democratic Party's in the same boat. I mean, they haven't come out with anybody yet.
Yeah.
Now, I heard Dylan Moran is going to run again, but I don't know if that's true. I know there's...
I've heard that as well.
Yeah, and then there's two women that are independent that are running for office. One for mayor and one...
That's Heidi Wiest?
Yes, and then one for commissioner of finance.
Yeah.
And I think she's an accountant.
Okay.
So that would be good to have somebody in the field as commissioner of finance.
Yes.
But as far as mayor, I've only read and heard people talk that Robin Dalton may run for mayor.
Oh, interesting. Yes.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if it's true. You know, I just heard this from different people talking that said that that would suit her style a little bit more.
Yes, I think so. The police pushback from the community is really a stressor on Robin. And actually, she and Michelle Madigan have been public-wise sort of acting mayor, because the mayor tends not to like to be out in public.
Yeah.
So in a way, Robin, as well as Michelle Madigan, have been doing that. And there's always been rumors that Michelle Madigan would run.
Right.
As
And that may still be a possibility. you know.
Right, true. And Robin Dalton, though, yeah, that would definitely suit her, and it would suit Michelle.
Yeah.
Well, you know, their personalities. At least.
Now, I heard that, you know, I was talking with a friend that said that he thought the reason why Robin went independent was because, and I've gotten feedback from Republicans too, and Democrats too, was that they would have primaried her. That and the Democrats didn't want her. They wouldn't support her on the Democrat ticket. So she had to make a move.
Yes.
She had to make a move to something else or not run. So that's why she went independent, so she could try and get the conservative party or the independence party. Even though, no, there's no independence party anymore, is there?
There is no independence party. That's okay. Why a lot of them migrated over to Working Families Party, which I thought that's what Robin would do and not be an independent. But maybe she can't get that line either, because that's a very progressive line.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm not sure that fits her bill either. She's kind of in the middle politically, which makes her sort of in a no man's land nowadays.
Yeah, I know it. And, you know, she's had some baggage over the summer too. I mean, like when we had that protest back to blue. I mean, she was out of town on vacation. I don't know. I think I would have held back on a lot of things last year if I was in politics, just to kind of get the city through a lot of the turmoil that.
Yes. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry about that. We're gonna do audio. So. So I just don't know what the layout's going to be. You know, we haven't heard anything, and you know, it's going to be an interesting time.
Well, Heidi Weiss, though, for mayor could be problematic, because she is suing the city.
Oh, really?
Over the yes, she's part of that suing for the East Side EMS station. She doesn't want it in her backyard, apparently. So, you know, the one that's going to be built over on the back
street property. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be coming up a lot for whoever is going to be the Democratic candidate. You know, how could you run for mayor and you're actually suing the city?
The city. Yeah, true.
So that'll be an obstacle for her. Although people seem to really like her as a business owner.
Correct. And I'm sure there's a way around that to get people to understand maybe why she's not doing it. I mean, it's like the people that the Morgan Street people that didn't want the hospital to build. They had a lot of support from the city. And I think if one of them ran for office, they probably could have won.
Right. Well, Tim Holmes ran for office last time. Remember, he was one of the anti-capital expansion people, and, you know, Meg overtook him pretty handily.
Yeah.
So that's because he didn't want to make it that much of an issue. He was being too much of a gentleman in a way for politics.
Well, I had him on the show, and he was a very brilliant man who knew government. He helped governments out. He even wrote a book about Saratoga history. And you're right.
I
think he would have been a great mayor, but I think he was.
Yes, I do too.
I don't think he would have played the games though. And he was too easy. He didn't have that hard shell, you know?
Yeah. Right.
But he was a very nice man. And I was very surprised the Republicans wouldn't back him.
I know it. Well, they wanted Meg because they wanted the hospital.
Yeah.
And he agreed to back the hospital.
Yeah.
So, that's unfortunate. And now this hospital expansion is much bigger than they initially said. There's going to be four buildings instead of one giant building.
Yeah. I mean, you can anticipate that. The hospital's just, they're going to get whatever they want. And they say money's tight, but, you know, when it comes to hospitals, that's not the way.
Yeah, I know. So it's just, it's too bad. I feel sorry for the people that live over there.
Oh, yeah. One of the other things is that in the last election, so that would be, 2019, Meg Madigan and Robin raised so much money for their campaigns. It was unheard of. I don't think anybody's ever raised that much money from unions and big business. And I think that proved that unions and big business control the city.
Yeah. Well, certainly they got a lot of money from hospital people too. I mean, Michelle had like $5,000. A lot of money.
Oh, it is.
You know, and they wanted to ensure she was going to be in there so she could guess on the hospital.
Right. So, I think because that was a close race between her and Morrison.
Yeah, Patty Morrison. Yep.
You know, yeah, it's going to be an interesting summer, I think, for a lot of reasons. But just one of the other things to touch on, and we can get back to this later, but one of the just one thing before we move on is change of government was on the ballot last fall.
Yes.
And now 3-4 years ago, it lost by 10 votes. And this time it lost by 1,400 votes.
Yes.
Now, if you stop to think about the thinking of Saratoga, it doesn't look too well. It doesn't look too good for the people of Saratoga and how they think.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can go for 10, lose by 10, and then lose by over 1,400.
I think there's just a weariness for charter change, you know, because Meg Kelly brought in that charter change to tweak the charter. You know, it was that 2018, I think.
And yeah, then, 2017, she won.
No,
her
that
first
was 2017.
Term. Right. She ran in 2017.
Right.
And backed the city manager form of government. Because the city forum committee backed her in her mayor campaign. And that called for a $40,000 salary. Well, then when that lost, then after January, after she was, you know, sworn in, she started a commission to look at the change, maybe this form of government, but she wanted the $40,000 salary in the mayor's.
Yes, yeah, that could be why, because she really definitely wanted more money.
Oh,
that
definitely.
That was one of her themes throughout her tenure in office.
Yeah. Well, one other thing, and you may know the person that that may be involved in the campaign this year is Dan Snyder.
Mm-hmm. Who, I don't know him.
Oh, he was Meg Kelly's former executive assistant.
Yes, David Snyder.
Oh, David, I'm sorry. Did I say Dan? He's Dan Snyder is the owner of my favorite team, the Washington Redskins, although I don't think you can say that anymore. But so he's the former executive assistant, and he resigned after the city's Back to Blue rally because he disagreed with the city's stance on it. So I don't know. I know he's made overtures about running, but I don't know if he's officially filed any papers yet. Back now, yes.
Okay. Yes. So I hear that he's not running.
Oh, he isn't?
Yes. He decided to drop out. I think it's because he probably hasn't gotten an endorsement from the Democrats.
Yeah.
And he told me he wanted Meg Kelly to renounce what happened on July 30th when the Black Lives Matter people were pepper sprayed by the police and county sheriff. And because she was silent, which she's silent on many things.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, she's not one to come out with her opinions.
No.
That's why he quit and thought he should run. But he's young.
Yeah, he's idealistic. And I think, I mean, no matter what side of that, the problems that went on over the summer, all respect was lost for everybody.
Yeah.
And what I thought about that that night when Back the Blue had a march or whatever, that they should have been left alone and had their march. And it's the same way when the other side had a march. You let them have their march. You don't antagonize the crowds. And although I think laying across Broadway at 10 o'clock at night and not moving, like some of the the protesters did, causes immense problems. I mean, if a driver ran over one or two of them, you know the driver would have been sued, not the person laying in the road. And I just think that, you know, we're not prepared to handle tactical situations like that.
Yeah, but I certainly, I don't think they handled it well by shooting the protesters with the pepper spray. They should have just arrested people. And
right.
If you start arresting people, then there might have been disbursement. But
sure. Well, what I believe, I don't believe that tear gas should be used in any, no matter what size. I like the uses that Europe has and some cities in the country with the big water tanks and big pressure hoses.
Yeah.
I mean, that moves them back without, get them in there, you won't damage anything on them. And usually if it's cold out and they're soaking wet, they won't want to stay around. So you're not hurting anybody. And I think that should be used in kind of high profile protests or, riots. But that's how they do it over there. And they don't seem to have too much of a problem, you know?
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, we have a right to protest in this country, and to say, you know, certain people have a right and other people don't is...
No, I believe everybody has a right to protest, but I don't think to the point when it gets, when both sides antagonize each other and then it starts to get violent.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'll just use an example, like the one guy with the bullhorn went up to the other fella and put it right in his ear and started yelling at him. I mean, that's not peaceful protesting, and that's not right, the First Amendment right, you know. So there's things, and when it escalates, then that's the time to use that procedure, not tear gas them and you know, things like that. But we'll see how that plays out.
Well, and I think there's a misperception too that it was violent. It wasn't, but once the Blue Lives Matter folks left,
yeah,
they were just blocking the road. I mean,
yeah,
so they just needed to get them to go home.
Sure.
And I think the police were just sick and tired of being there for hours patrolling this thing and decide, let's end it by doing this, which was really a really bad decision.
Well, you know, I mean, I think if Robin had been there and could have been called at a scene, she probably could have diffused some of the police's
tactics. She was there for the whole thing, right up until the end.
Oh, really?
Yes, she was not... because I called her that night and to find out what happened, and she had just left. So she was there for the whole thing right up before she left, right before they did the pepper spray thing.
Okay. So, well, yeah. Good for her. At least she was on the scene then.
Yes, she was.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, she's been away for other protests. So,
let's hope. Yeah.
Because they start to intimidate her.
Yeah. You need a certain person for that job.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
And,
I know.
Right now, with all these police reforms coming up, I don't think anybody in the city council wants to have to deal with it. You know,
no.
There's a lot of suggestions that the, you know, body cameras, etc., bias training. I don't think the city council is that in favor of it.
Well, I mean, I think they should use body cams all the time.
Right. That's what most people in Saratoga, they just did that survey that said 78% of people in Saratoga Springs think that body camera all the time.
Yeah. Well, I think 78% of the people in the country would like that, because I would want anything recorded so that I would be protected. Right. And if I were a police officer, I would want to be protected.
That's right. That protects the good cops. You
exactly.
know.
And, so I would want that all the time. Now, one city, I think it's Portland, has taken away the body armor of their police, which to me, that's not good.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to wear flak jackets or whatever. I mean, you don't want to take that stuff away either, you know. I think we've lost.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Let's hope this summer is a little better than last summer.
I know. Hopefully the pandemic will... The track will be open at least.
I hope. Well, I think they said right now, I heard they're going to let 1,300 people in.
That's now, good.
How they're going to do that, I have no clue. But hopefully by July, that number will keep increasing.
Yes.
And I think right now, they're looking at it at right now as this time that there won't be anybody outside. It'll all be inside the building because you can socially distance, and outside there's no way you can. I mean, you could be right on top of it.
So they're going to not have the picnic table set up, maybe.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Then maybe you can social distance them, but the you know, going up to the fence, you know, during the race. I mean, there are so many people jammed in, especially on Saturdays.
Right.
But by July, the middle of July, everything, you know, you don't know how everything's going to change.
I know. And I hope it changes for the better and we can sort of get back to normal.
I do too. But on the other hand, I honestly think that in venues, of course, Saratoga, horse racing in general is different than a lot of other sports because people like to bet.
Yes.
But I think people are going to be a little bit nervous about getting in huge gatherings, 50,000.
Oh yeah,
40,000 people for a long time. I think we have to get back into. It's going to take a while before people are comfortable. Maybe not the young people. Yeah, the young people don't seem to, you know.
Well, yeah, because they just need to socialize.
That's right. They don't have that apprehension. We were all that way. I mean,
right. They want to go dating and having fun with their friends.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens on that. I want to talk a little bit about the police reform that we had spoken a little bit about.
Yeah.
And some of the different things that they spoke about on that. Some of the things I thought were totally inappropriate. Other things I agreed, and I guess, you know, that's the purpose of a poll.
Right.
One of the main problems I have with this poll is that 43% of the respondents live outside of Saratoga Springs, but took part of this poll, which I haven't got a clue why.
Well, I think it's because Saratoga Springs attracts, most of the people live in the county. So if you live in the county, you've probably had experiences with people, you know, with the police in Saratoga Springs, because you know, everybody visits frequently, you know, that's where you dine. That's where you go do SPAC and the track. And I think that was part of the reason they allowed that.
Well, I don't believe they should have. I mean, we pay taxes in Saratoga if people want to come in. I certainly don't want to make a judgment call on what they do in Albany, because I go down to Albany once in a while.
Right.
I don't want to tell them what their police department should be doing.
Yeah.
And I think the Saratoga County outside of Saratoga, residents outside of Saratoga Springs should comment on the sheriff's department.
Yeah.
That's a county police agency. Mm-hmm. So right there, I think this is a biased poll, because unless you live in the city and dealing with this every day, you could have one encounter and then that would taint your view of the entire force. And I just
one bad encounter is that's all it takes, right?
Yeah, it does.
You could have one good encounter, you know, so I don't know. I think it's valid to have, I mean, maybe that you have a point there, Rick, but at the same time, I think because Saratoga is the heart of the county, it really is. And Saratoga Springs, that is, I understand why they reached out beyond Saratoga Springs borders.
Okay.
You know,
well, that's, yeah, whatever. I mean, they decided how to take this poll. So, I mean, that you got to go by
the figures. And the man that who did the poll is, this is his specialty. This is what, you know, he does. And he feels the poll is very valid. So, of course, I don't know what the city is going to do with it. The city council. I thought they were going to be talking about it on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But because April 1st is right around the corner where they have to adopt changes.
Oh, they do.
Yes, by April 1st, unless they lose tons of state funding. So we have to, you know, I don't know why it's not on the agenda, but right now it's not on the agenda for Tuesday. And that'll be what, March 16th, I think.
Right. You only have one more meeting after that.
Right. And they'll have to adopt it. And there's no discussion in the meeting on what they're planning on doing with the police department.
And that, I don't know if that should not even be allowed. They should have public discourse on this.
Yes, but they're not. There's no public comment on that. There is public comment, of course, in the meeting, but no public hearing, which I thought was really surprising that, you know, that Saratogians should be able to go and express, you know, like what you said to me, you didn't like the survey and you like body cams, whatever people want to say. People need to be able to make comments.
Right. But here again, that's the commission form of government.
Yes. Yes.
Don't listen to the people.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, they're too sunk into their departments. You know, like Robin, I'm sure Robin Dalton is very concerned about protecting the police right now.
Right.
You know, and Meg Kelly doesn't like conflict. So she doesn't want anybody saying what to do and what not to do.
It's a very confusing thing, but I think that's what happens when you don't have public discourse.
Right.
It becomes very confusing because if you look at this report, there's so much in it that can't absorb it.
Right. I know. I know. It was very really difficult. It was difficult to write about it because there was so much in there.
Yeah. I mean, I tried.
One of the things I probably should have pointed out in my story was the non-residents that did speak.
Yeah. Well, it's 97 pages.
I know. It's a lot. And I spent a lot of time reading it and I didn't get through the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, other things like requiring de-escalation guidelines, I think is fine. I mean, I have a few questions just on what I could read, but the social mental health issues should be handled by social workers, trained professional social workers. You know, that is such a wide area of issues that I honestly don't, I think the police should be trained in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm a social worker and I'm called to a house dispute to try and de-escalate a husband and wife from, you know, what they're doing, and I go in there and I'm trying to calm them down and the guy pulls a gun and shoots me.
Right.
You know what? That poor person goes in there with knowledge of how to handle a situation. So, but you don't know which way it's going to go.
Right.
But I honestly think police officers should either accompany them and wait outside, or have that as part of their police officer training is social work.
I think you would have to take a special because not every police officer, I mean, it should be a combination, I think, of someone mm-hmm. who understands mental health. I think lots of times if you throw in a regular police officer, they might not handle it
correctly
as smoothly, but certainly there's always the chance that there's a gun. Or I know Chief Crooks was telling me at one point there was a domestic violence call recently and the man had a machete. I mean, that's...
That could be worse than a gun.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. So I think social workers believe they can handle those situations, but I'm not a social worker, so I don't know. So
right. And I mean, I'm looking at their safety standpoint, not their... Right. You know, I mean, they're very smart people, and right. they had to get their diploma, and they have to know what they're doing, and they do. I mean, there's a lot of great social workers, but I'm looking at strictly as a safety procedure, not as a going in to defuse a situation. I mean, what happens if the husband or the wife turns around and strangles the social worker? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, and hopefully, like with the police, they would have teams.
Yes, I would hope so. I would hope so.
And maybe it would be a good idea to have a social worker and a police officer.
A plainclothes police officer.
Yeah, it's like some combination or something. Yeah.
Well, now see, if I was a social worker, or if I was a husband abusing my wife, and they sent someone to defuse a situation, if the social worker came in, two of them came in. One could be a plainclothes police officer. That wouldn't frighten me as much as a uniform coming in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that I could see having a team like that.
Yeah. But well, you know, they need to have these discussions, Rick. We're not, you know, the city's not having these discussions, it appears. So how are they going to figure this out?
I know. Wendy, I'm telling you, there's too many things that happened within last year that we're trying to correct within 3 or 4 months of this year that it's impossible to do. All these write-ups and deadlines that government has to meet, too much stuff up in the air. I mean, with the money governments were getting and things like this and I don't know.
We have to remember the city as well as the state is in a budget crunch here.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we still don't know if they're going to get their VLT money, the city. You know, there's a lot of issues.
I know. Well, since they passed that bill, I would think that the state will get their money and start funneling it out.
I hope so.
Yeah. The VLT money may not, but
certainly.
One of the other things now, I know we just have a few, I know you have to leave shortly, but one of the things that I saw, and people will laugh at me, although you reported on it, I heard it first from Fox News, where a Skidmore student wanted to start a conservative club on campus and was denied. And actually, I saw her interview, too, on TV.
So did I, yeah.
Seems like a nice kid, you know?
Yeah.
The result of why she couldn't start it was left up to the students. There's a student commission that approves or disapproves. And the organization was called, Young Americans for Liberty?
Yes.
And I guess people said, they were a white supremacist group because they had some problems. And as she alluded to, maybe one or two things that happened, but 98-99% of that organization is just a conservative group.
Yeah. Well, yeah, or more libertarian, I guess.
All right. Well, conservative.
It started by Ron Paul.
Okay. Well, there are some great parts of being libertarian too, I feel. But I think you have to have diversity.
Yeah, she says that she felt that people didn't want to join the Republican club on campus.
Yeah.
Because in the post-Trump era, there's some pushback on that, especially for females. So that's why she wanted to do the Young Americans for Liberty. And but the government group, all, you know, student run government group said no way.
Yeah.
And they had that petition out that was, they had a lot of signatures.
But still, I mean, why would that matter? Right? I mean, if you wanted to start, let's say, I don't know, Ocasio Cortez club,
right,
that would probably pass with no problems.
Maybe. Right? You now, know, Steve, yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I'm just, it's a going back again to, you know, right to assemble, right to free speech. I mean, these are things, you know, in a healthy democracy, we should be able to express our opinions.
Right.
You know, and, you know, though it might be unpopular on Skidmore campus to be a libertarian, she has the total right to do that. And if she wants to form a club, to me, have at it, you know.
Right. Well, one of the things when you talked about pre-Trump or post-Trump, you know, Skidmore, I remember back in the 80s when I moved up here, there was a Republican candidate running against Tommy McTighe. Mm-hmm. And he, when all the results came in, he was up by 250, 240 votes until the Skidmore campus results came in. And
wow,
they voted 300 and something to 2 for McTighe against George, and Tommy won. So that kind of gives you the skew of what is on Skidmore. And I think that's been, well, Winston Churchill said, alluded to, young people are Democrats because they're idealistic. And then when they become an adult, they're conservatives. And
practical.
That's right, because they're practical. So, I mean, you know, and I was idealistic and when I was younger, but I think like we just said, freedom of speech should allow for different views, because good debate, you can learn a lot of things from good debate. And one of, yes, them might be tolerance, you know?
Right, I know. People are so closed-minded nowadays, Rick, though. They're in their camps and they don't seem to want to budge.
No.
And it's too bad. I mean, at least the Republican Club is still alive at Skidmore.
Good.
I don't know how many members they have, but it's alive.
Even if they have 3 or 4, I mean, at least they're trying and they're not getting up, you know?
Right. They're not kicking them. They're not saying they have to dissolve.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's good too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know why they don't want the libertarians. I didn't do enough research into it to see what that group did that was so offensive.
Yeah, I didn't either. But I know, I was talking with another person at work who knows that club, and they said it was 1 or 2 people that said something. And of course, that will cancel anything today.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't take much to cancel anything.
Right.
I mean, you know, even Johnny Cash singing on a Muppet show with a Confederate flag behind him cancels the Muppets. I mean,
yeah,
it's just funny.
Well, it's interesting though, like, I don't know, you know, like Donald Trump could seem to do, you know, have grabbed all sorts of women and done all sorts of things, and nobody calls for him to resign over that, but look at Cuomo. I mean, he's having, yeah, some serious issues, and I think he will have to go.
Well, I think so too. But, you know, as far as Trump goes, there's quite a few civil suits on that.
Yeah, that's true. That.
So, I mean, I think,
but no one ever called for him to resign over that, which I find interesting.
Well, I think national politicians get away with more than state.
That could be it, too.
State, city, or county.
Yeah.
I think, but back in the day, they didn't. I remember.
Snow White.
That's right. You remember a candidate, I think his name was Gary
Hart?
Yes, Gary Hart. Yes. And he was shown with a lady in a bikini sitting on his lap, and he had to get out of the race.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that was the old days. That doesn't happen anymore.
Not anymore. But yeah, I think federal is a little looser than
probably.
Because
yeah.
I'm sure if you look, if you start an investigation on most of the federal assembly or Congress people or Senate, you'll find something. I mean, look at Eric Swalwell. I mean, hey, you know, intelligence committee and cozy with a Chinese spy. I mean, you would think that would be automatic.
Right.
But that's different up there. I mean,
yeah. You know.
But yeah, I Governor Cuomo's in a lot of trouble on a lot of different levels.
Yes, he is. And he's a stubborn. I mean, he'll have to, to my thinking, it'll eventually happen.
Yeah, though, he may be so stubborn that he'll be impeached.
That's true, too.
I think by giving up, it looks like he's saying that he did it.
And right.
Open to a lot of other things. But I think being impeached, I don't know. It's very, we got two ends on that. We got the nursing home problem and
right,
we've got this problem.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to be in his shoes on either one of them, believe
no
me.
No way.
I mean,
no.
That's got to be a terrible
bad
thing.
Bad decisions all around, Rick.
I guess. I'm glad we're where we are, Wendy.
Yes. Yeah.
So is there anything else that you have that you want to touch on?
No, unless you had something else you wanted to talk about.
Well, let me see. I think one of the things and we touched on it was the track, the Skidmore students. That's about it. I'm interested in the track. I have my 8-hour course on April 24th. So,
you'll probably be back, right?
Well, I would hope so. I had my 8-hour course last year. We had it in a room. We could only have 10 people, so you could social distance. But, of course, with no fans, they had a limited number of local people and more of the union security forces from downstate because they were out of work. And they wanted to, of course, come in and work up here. So they came up, and rightly so. I never, I told Ellie when she called me and told me, I said, hey, look, that's their job, their livelihood. So they should come up if it means somebody taking my place. But the press was scattered all over the place anyway.
Yeah.
They were in the dining room, the third floor dining room, because they could really spread out. Because in the press box, you can't have all those people.
You're right on top of each other, right?
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens this year.
And, well, certainly it's nice to think that the Oklahoma track area will be different. I mean, they'll have the daycare center built.
Yep.
They'll be having the new Mary Lou Whitney Pavilion will be up. They're going to build a new soccer field. They're going to start building a medical center. So things are going to look very different across the street.
Yes, and they've started resurfacing. They dug up all the dirt on the track, on the Oklahoma track. They're going to resurface that. I think they've already put in new fencing. It's the plastic fencing, like on the racetrack.
Yeah,
they put that up already. So yeah, it's going to be really a lot better looking than it was.
Yes.
Before,
yeah. Right. It's good for the people who have to live back there.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. They'll have as nice of a place as everybody else does.
Right.
And they should because they work awful hard for practically nothing, and they work hard too.
Oh, I know they do. 7 days a week.
7 days a week, yeah.
Yeah.
So all right, Wendy. Well, listen.
All right. Well, it was good talking to you, Rick.
Good talking to you. And maybe when this is all over, we both did our second shots and wait our 2 to 4 weeks, we can do one in the studio.
That's right. And by then, we'll know who's running for office so we can consider who we think is going to win the races.
That's right. We'll handicap the races.
Yeah, we'll handicap the races.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
Yeah, you have a great weekend, and it's great to talk with you.
Okay. Bye, Rick.
Bye-bye.